The prophet Habakkuk is found towards the end of the Old Testament, and as the saying goes, blessed is the man who sits next to somebody who knows where the prophet Habakkuk is. So it is the fifth last book in the Old Testament. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and then after Habakkuk, it's Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. It's the fifth last book in the Old Testament. Just to give you a little bit of a background on the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk is known as one of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament, and it is called a minor prophet simply because it is a short book, not because the book's message is not important, or the book itself is inferior as compared to other books in the Bible. Habakkuk is grouped with prophets such as Jeremiah, and also Obadiah, Nahum, and Zephaniah, who all prophesied around the same time regarding the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian exile. Around 605 BC, that's about 2,630 years ago. Now, reading all four of these prophets that go together, it gives us a more complete picture of the happenings of the time, the significance of those happenings, and also of future events. Habakkuk probably lived during the reigns of the king Josiah and the beginning of the king of Jehoiakim, and prophesied about the Babylonians, the world's next superpower, and the destruction of Jerusalem. And the very things that he had prophesied about, he would see come to fulfillment in his own lifetime. We do not know much about the prophet Habakkuk, other than what is written in the book itself. His name is mentioned twice, in chapter 1 and verse 1, and then again in chapter 3, verse 1. Who was his father? Who was his mother? Was he married? Did he have children? We do not know. But what we do know is that he delivered an oracle, a pronouncement from God. The Hebrew word here, oracle, can also be translated burden. Burden because he had an important message to deliver, a weighty message. But that word oracle can also be translated song. In fact, the last verse in the book, in chapter 3 and verse 19, ends with the words to the choir master with stringed instruments. Maybe it was even part of the liturgical worship services in Israel being sung. Now, this prophecy is in the form of a dialogue between the prophet and God. The prophet speaks and God answers. The book consists only of three chapters, so it is short. And it divides into six sections that all deals with a matter of faith. Faith and trusting in God. The main theme of the book is, though God's ways are sometimes mysterious, the righteous shall live by faith. And we find that in chapter 2 and verse 4. But today, we are going to learn from Habakkuk how to respond when our faith is being tested. With that in mind, let us now read from chapter 1 and verse 1 through to chapter 2 and verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horseman presses proudly on. Their horseman comes from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for a proof. You are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. Why do you look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook and drags them out with his net and gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and makes offerings to his dragnet. For by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. So far in the reading of God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the rain is falling outside and wetting the earth, not to return to heaven, but to produce a crop, so you say in your word, will your word be, not returning void to you, but fulfilling the purpose for which you have sent it. So Lord, we ask, won't you do that this morning, even here, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Life during the 6th century BC in the southern kingdom of Israel was pretty average. God's people, what had been that great nation of Israel, was split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom 370 years prior, around the year 975 BC. Due to the sins and the unfaithfulness of King Solomon. That was followed by about 250 years of division and conflict between the two kingdoms. And due to the moral decline and the apostasy, the northern kingdom came to an abrupt end when the Assyrian invasion occurred around the year 720 BC. The northern kingdom of Israel was no more. But now, about 120 years later, the southern kingdom, better known as Judah, the house of David, but was all that there was left of the people of God, and things were not going well, neither morally nor spiritually. And here is a report that Habakkuk gives us on the situation of the day. In verses 3b and 4, destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed. And justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Things aren't looking good in Judah. It has become a violent society. There's a lot of bloodshed and destruction. There is injustice, oppression, and wrongdoing resulting in conflict and more conflict. This has become a lawless society. The law is ignored and justice perverted. Wickedness is getting the upper hand over righteousness. The righteous are in the minority, and they are getting fewer by the day. The people of God were supposed to be a light to the nations, an example and a good testimony. But sadly, the opposite was true. These were the circumstances that Habakkuk found himself in. And so the first thing we notice from the text is Habakkuk's prayer. He prayed in verses 2 and 3. O Lord, how long? How long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me look at iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Habakkuk saw all the immorality and the lawlessness of his day, and it grieved him deeply. But what was more distressing to him was that God seemed to do nothing about it. Why are you not doing something? He asks the Lord. Habakkuk's faith is being tested. Have you experienced something like this? Going through deep distress, and God seems to be absent and passive. I think most of us have. Did you notice what Habakkuk did in his distress? He prayed to God about it. That's what he did. And it seems like he has been praying for a while, actually for a very long time. But he keeps going back to God. How long shall I cry? His prayers had become long cries over an extended period of time. I'm not sure if you are aware of the woke culture that we find ourselves in today. Someone is woke when they are woken up to the issues of social injustice. We see a lot of that today. Outcries against injustice. justice now. We will not be silent. Stay woke. It's almost like become a religion today. Woke goes to the street and raise their outcries and their protests there. This is quite different to the approach that the prophet Habakkuk did when he saw the injustices of his day. He goes to God in prayer, and it is before the throne of Almighty God that he pours out his concerns and his complaints. Children, when you go through a difficult time, remember to pray to God about it. Habakkuk speaks to God not only about the violence and the injustice, but also what appears to be more pressing, and that is that God seems to be doing nothing about it. And so he questions the Lord. He asks God tough questions. Now, we need to grapple with this particular issue. Is it okay for Habakkuk to do this? And if so, is it okay for us to do the same? What do you think? If you look at verse 5 of our text, God answers Habakkuk's questions, his complaints, saying to him, "Look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe, even if told." God doesn't say to Habakkuk, "How dare you question me? How dare you accuse me of not listening to you and turning a blind eye and not stepping in and doing something about evil? Who do you think you are?" No, that's not what God is saying. Instead, God answers Habakkuk's questions. God does not criticize him for asking these questions. Actually, there are numerous examples in the Bible of people who took their questions and their concerns to God when apparently God was not noticing, neither was he acting. Now, we don't have time to go through examples like that, but I'll just mention to you Psalm 13, verses 1 to 3, Job 13, verses 23 to 27, Revelation 6, verses 9 and 10. We are allowed to ask God tough questions. We can wrestle with God. But while we are doing that, it is important to check our hearts. What we should guard against is mocking, sneering, rebelling, and becoming bitter against God in the process of doing so. Rather, our questioning should be for the purpose of giving understanding to our faith. Habakkuk is a believer in the crucible himself, and he is seeking understanding from the God in whom he trusts. And that is the way that you and I are to ask our questions. Are you ill? Perhaps it has been for months, maybe years, and you are despairing whether you will ever get better. It is fine for your faith to reach out to God and to ask him hard questions. Why am I not getting better, Lord? Why don't you heal me? Are you depressed? It's gone on for ages. There are some good days, but they are not many. It is fine for your faith to reach out to God and ask God, Lord, please step in and remove these dark clouds from me. Deliver me from this mountain of depression. Is your marriage a mess? There's unbelievable tension at home. There's a lack of trust. It seems like you are two individuals coexisting, but going nowhere together. It is fine for your faith to reach out to God and ask the Lord, why has things turned out so badly? And ask Him to heal your marriage. Please help me to understand, Lord, why these things are happening. As long as it comes from a context of faith that seeks understanding. At times like that, pray and pour out your heart to God. Go to Him again and again. That is what the prophet did. It is really part of our faith to cling to God Himself. But looking at Habakkuk praying, we also see that he had a concern for injustice, for wrongdoing, and for sin around him. It is right that we should be concerned about moral and spiritual decline around us. Sin, in particular, should be a great concern for us. Whether it is found in society, in the church, in our families, but especially in our own lives. Are you burdened about sin? Does it bother you? Then follow the prophet's example and take it to the Lord in prayer. But now we're going to listen to the Lord's answer. God answers Habakkuk. Habakkuk has spoken to him in verses 2 to 4. Now God speaks to him in verses 5 through to 11. And immediately it becomes apparent that even though he seems to be doing nothing, that God has actually been very much at work. Habakkuk asks God, how long before you step in, Lord? And there's a resounding answer coming from the Lord. God is not passive. He hears the prayers of His people. When you are going through a time of trial and your faith is being tested, remember, God is at work, even though it may not be apparent to you at the time. Let us look at God's answer to Habakkuk in verses 5 through to 11. Look, God answers. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and their dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swift to devour. They all come for violence, their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff. They pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God. God is going to raise up the Babylonians. Another name for them, the Chaldeans. And they're going to be ruthless, taking over the world. They will be feared and dreaded. They will be violent and cause carnage. And sows God's justice. And they will praise and worship themselves for it. God even gives his own verdict on the Babylonians in verse 11. They are guilty men whose own might is their God. In one sense, this response from God is not surprising at all. He has spoken about the very thing through Moses hundreds of years earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25 through to 30, and chapter 28, verses 64 to 67, prophetically saying to his people, exile will come if you turn away from following me, and persecution if you rebel against me. Even the prophet Isaiah, years previously, spoke about this in more detail. But in another sense, this answer is quite confronting. And Habakkuk is perplexed that God will use godless, unholy instruments to judge and purify his people. He may have thought, but God, why don't you just change the people's hearts? Or, Lord, why don't you give us leaders who will do better? But no, in this instance, the Lord chose to intervene in a rather surprising way. It must have appeared to Habakkuk that God was going to do the very opposite to what he had been praying for. Have you ever been in a situation where God has allowed things to get worse before they got better? Like Habakkuk and what happened in his days, God sometimes surprises us. Again, Habakkuk's faith is challenged. So what does he do? Let's look up Habakkuk's response in verses 12 through to 17. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. Why do you look idly at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up men more righteous than he? Habakkuk asks, God, why are you using ruthless Babylonians? They are likened to greedy fishermen that catches defenseless fish. Emptying their net with these fish mercilessly, consuming the nations. And Habakkuk is asking, How, Lord, can this be? Why does a holy and a righteous God allow evil? How can you use them to bring about your purposes? Habakkuk's faith is challenged again. Perhaps he feels like he's between a rock and a hard place. He had been asking for God to answer his prayer. But now God has answered his prayer, but the answer is perplexing. But again, he goes back to God and he continues to pray. And now he has even more questions, wrestling with God about what he doesn't fully understand. What does he do? So now he reminds himself, and he reminds God of what God is like. He says to God, God, are you not eternal and holy? God, are you not a rock, dependable and sovereign? God, you are my God. Why does Habakkuk do this? And how will it help him? Habakkuk is standing on the certain foundation of the character of God that does not change in the face of his perplexity, and in the face of circumstances that do change. This shows us just how important it is for the church to preach the whole counsel of God and to get to know the God in whom we trust better. This helps us and carries us through difficult times, when our faith is under attack and God has not given us all the answers. Children, when you are being taught about God by your parents or here at church, make sure you listen carefully and try to remember what you learn about God will help your faith in the future when it's going to be tested. And so Habakkuk's faith is a faith that further waits on the God in whom he trusts. We can see that in chapter 2 and verse 1, where he says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself in the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And God is going to answer Habakkuk in chapter 2, as we will see next time. But in closing, perhaps what I have been saying today might seem very strange and irrelevant to you. Or you might think, I don't have any faith that can be tested. Or maybe, like Habakkuk, you are concerned about all the injustices around you. But that is as far as the similarities between you and Habakkuk goes. It is right for you to be concerned about all the injustice around you. But may I ask you this question? Are you concerned about all the injustice inside of you? The sins of your own heart, the unbelief of your mind, and the desires for wrongdoing. Are you concerned about those things? The injustices within you. God is very concerned about them. And he has done something for you. He has given you a Savior, his only Son. And he is the one who can remove the injustice inside of you and your guilty conscience and give you his righteousness. What's the point? Come to him. Come to him and put your faith in him. It is really that simple. Faith is a very precious gift from God. Earlier in the service, Claudius read to us from the scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 21. And there we are told that faith is a gift from God. Verses 18 to 21. Believers are told, "For you know that you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope is in God. Christ has redeemed us by his precious blood and grants us faith and hope in God." It is a gift, a precious gift. And according to verse 7, it is worth more than gold. The value of this faith becomes evident when it is tested. Has your faith in God ever been tested? Truth be told, perhaps maybe your faith is under attack right now. And you're quite unsettled by it. You've hit some faith blockers of some sort, and it is undermining and squeezing the life out of your faith. This past week, in our Bible studies, we studied the doctrine of saving faith. And in there we learned that the principal act of saving faith focuses directly on Jesus Christ, accepting, receiving, and resting on him alone. So look at Christ. If your faith is under attack, think about him again. He is not a faith blocker. He is a faith giver. He is not a faith underminer. He is a faith strengthener. We can see that in action in the prophet Habakkuk himself. According to 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through to 12, we are told that the prophets of God spoke about the salvation of Christ, and they had the Spirit of Christ in them. Therefore, let us learn from the prophet Habakkuk how to respond when our faith is tested. He was greatly concerned about all the injustices around him. Immorality, and when God's law was ignored, his faith moved him to pray. He persevered in prayer, and when it seemed like God was not responding, and God answered him, furthering require from him to keep on trusting in God, which he did, by standing on the foundation of the character of God when he didn't have his questions fully answered. By faith, He continued to wait for God to answer. And God will answer his people. Let us rise together and sing the song Reconciled.